Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Maria, seer, life coach, healer, hosted by Mary Blake. Ada Maria today delves deep into one of the most vital relationships humans enjoy, friendship. In her years of serving spiritual beings having a human experience, she has developed an intimate understanding of its great value. Are there rules about friendship, and do they vary from country to country? Can you overestimate or undervalue a particular friendship? Is it a right or something that must be earned? How can one know the difference? Can friendship be automatically assumed just because you meet and spend time with someone? Is it okay to let go of friends who no longer fit into your lifestyle, or if you argue more than you agree? What's the best way to end a friendship that doesn't work anymore? Ada Maria, what does Spirit tell you about all this? Oops. Ada Maria isn't here. Hello. Oh, she will be here momentarily. Hello. Oh, let's see if we can talk to somebody here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. I didn't think you could hear me. That's how come I was asking.
No. Okay,
I had tried to get in before the show, but I couldn't.
Aha. Okay.
I tried four times,
now.
I didn't
know. Oh, my. Okay.
So,
well, we are here now.
Okay.
So Ada Maria, what has Spirit tell you about friendship?
Many, many things. Friendship is a sensation of knowing that you have become aware of the presence of another person that is, in your estimation, is congenial, is kind, is understanding, and is aware. Now, a lot of times friendships are formed in different ways. So you can't always say that friendships are formed on a meeting. Very often they're formed in a long-distance manner, over a phone, through letters. Before we had phones, people made friends all over the world by writing letters. If you remember, Mary, we used to write a lot of letters.
We sure did.
Yes, and it was wonderful. And maybe they were in foreign countries or somewhere else, but at least they were friends, and they were able to discuss the things that they liked and listen to or read what their friends liked. And they had many, many wonderful rapports developed in letters. And now we have phones, and I'm not so sure that the phones give the same amount of appreciation that a written letter gives, or the same amount of insight or understanding. But since we have them and we use them, I think people are more conscientious of what is said over the phone or in other places.
Yeah.
I believe a friend is formed when the two of you have come together in a relationship, male or female, it doesn't matter, and you can see eye to eye, and you find that you can trust each other, and you can give each other time when they need it. Usually, when one's a dear friend, you can take the time, or you will take the time, to be there for them when they need you. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, how many times have people had very good friends and then they have fallen ill only to find out that their good friend hasn't had time to try to communicate with them or find out how they are. Is that a real friend? Or is that somebody afraid of a friendship? And very
often it is. That doesn't want to invest in it very much.
Right. In other words, they will only invest a certain amount, but they won't give of themselves. And even though they're friends, they're more concerned with their own welfare than they are with yours. And that happens in many, many cases. And then you can be giving a lot to a friend, and the friend is absorbing it, and they will turn right around and help you. So that's another kind of friend. They will be there for you when you need them. So the word friendship has a very long, long tail. Friends try to make friends with people of importance because they think that's going to take them someplace in their work. And sometimes it will, but most likely it doesn't go any further than it did when you met them. They don't go out of their way to help you, to promote you, to give you anything, but they're your friend. And why are they your friend? Because they feel like you have given them something and they want to hold on to that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you give a friend but appreciation and love and light and understanding? Or in most cases, Mary, it's just listening. If you will listen to a person, they will automatically become your friend because they need somebody to talk to. Not that anything they got to say is particularly important. It's usually about themselves. But they really need a friend who will listen. And
need to be heard.
Right. They need to be heard. And in most cases, that needing to be heard is very important to them. In fact, many people get sick because they don't have a friend they can talk to. And the reason that they don't have a friend is basically, the reason is because they only talk about themselves. They never once ask a question about their friend. How are you? What's happening? How has your day been? They are immediately ready to tell you about their day and their relationships. So that's what you hear. And those kind of friends are really on the peripheral part of friendship. They want someone
that's
to talk
to you.
That's
more of an acquaintance, more than an acquaintance than a friendship.
Right, it is
and
an acquaintance.
And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, isn't it?
Sometimes it is, and then every once in a while you get a glimpse of that acquaintance. You get a glimpse of it. Like they will tell you that so-and-so did something, but they didn't bother to call them, or they didn't make any effort to do something because one of their other friends had some kind of a problem, that they didn't make any effort to communicate. And that person is usually a person who is only interested in what they have to say and very little of what the rest of their friends have to say. In fact, those kind of people will say to you, well, you know, I liked your friend. I liked your friend, but they talked all the time. Well, what does that person do? They talk all the time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, but they very often you hear that. In fact, I know several people, and they always say to me, well, you know, I like you because you're nice to talk to, but your friend is very difficult. She never lets you say a word.
Can't get a word in edgewise.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's what they say. And, you know, it could be true, but the thing is, that do they let anybody get a word in edgewise?
Yeah.
I mean, it just isn't an ordinary conversation where you can say something and they can say something. Or they're the kind of people that like to complain, and they have to complain to somebody. So if you're handy, guess who gets a complaint? Yeah, and I always found that it was much easier to drop a complaint and take the power away from it than it was to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
The more you talk about it, the more power it gets, the stronger it gets. So
there you go. Yeah.
Thoughts are things, Mary. And if people hold the thought that they are okay and that the people they are talking to are okay and they don't
mm-hmm.
complain to them, that person will be grateful to talk with them. But if every time you talk to somebody, they got a complaint, after a while, it's like, oh, she's calling again. He's calling again.
Yeah.
Now what's the matter?
What do you think is the real importance of friendship in our lives?
I think the real important thing of friendship is honesty. And that came direct when you were starting to make that statement, was honesty is the most important thing in any relationship. In mm-hmm. actually, in everything you do, because if you're just absolutely honest, then there's never any reason to feel that you have destroyed a relationship or that you have not built it on solid ground or that it isn't something that is worth cherishing. If the other person is
mm-hmm.
honest, it can last forever. If the other
mm-hmm.
person isn't honest, you find that out quick enough, you know, probably quicker than
mm-hmm.
you want to. So you then have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And that choice is, you know, whatever you choose to make it. People who are not really honest in dealing with each other always find a reason to destroy the relationship one way or another.
Uh-huh.
And it don't last very long. But if you have a friend of long standing, I have a friend that I've had, she had been my friend until the day she passed over. And she called me up a week before she was passing and she said, Ada Marie, I want to tell you something because you're the only one that will understand what I'm telling you. She said, I know I'm going to make my transition. I have already had my visit with Jesus. I've already come to the conclusion that it's all right and I am ready to go. And I want you to know that. I only want you to do one thing for me, and that is on the day I make my transition, I want you to pray for me that when I meet Jesus, he is ready to meet me. And I said, well, Mary, I don't have to pray for that. That's a given because you have always been this wonderful person to everybody. He'll be waiting to talk to you. And she said, you are sure? And I said, I am sure. He's going to be standing right there to speak with you. Well, 4 years later, she came through the veil and she spoke to me. And she said, you were absolutely right. And I know that the people around the room do not understand what we're talking about, but I want you to know that you were absolutely right. And she said, and I have to go. And so I told them, I said, well, you know, she was a good person. She was always there for people. She took over and helped and did and carried a load she shouldn't have carried, but she did it anyway because that's the kind she was. And and he was waiting for her. When she got there, he was there. He was there. And I'm telling you, folks, when you live aright, he will be there. And he is your friend. He said, I am your friend. I have
mm-hmm.
come to be a friend. I have come and I will come back. And he will come back. And because he is a friend. And he's a friend to everybody who lives aright, and even to people who don't, he befriends them anyway, hoping that they will turn around and turn their life around. Many people can't do that. Many people can never give up what it is that they cherish. But a lot of people can say, okay, if I have to make a choice, I will choose to walk the path, and they are saved.
Oh, that's so great. Well, you know, from what I understand, you can make that choice anytime, even up to the last second.
And
you know?
Some of them do. I've been with people who, the very last hour of their life, they turn and say, "Forgive me. I realize my life hasn't been lived the way it should, but I'm asking for forgiveness because there's nothing stronger than the energy I feel, the love I feel coming toward me." And a lot of people feel that love as they're leaving their body. They feel that love coming toward them. And they will say, "Forgive me, forgive me." And they are forgiven. Amazingly enough, they are forgiven. Then they have all kinds of schooling to go do to rectify whatever it is that they did in their lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think many people know that, Mary. But they can go to school on the other side. In fact, most of them do. They work over there. And they can get rid of the negative things that they carried in their lifetime, that particular lifetime. If they ask for help, they get it. They can get helped. And when Jesus says he is a friend, that's exactly what he means. He's there to assist you in whatever it is you need help with.
Yeah.
Now that's
we're talking about our earthly friends, and you think that some of our earthly friendships continue after they go on and
they
leave the earth plane, right?
They actually do continue after they go on, and many times those people return in another 100 or 200 years, and they immediately recognize each other when they come in contact.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. They were two little kids, 1 3 and 1 4, a little girl and a little boy, and they lived in the community. The one family lived there. The little boy lived there, and he was about 6 or 7 when another family moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Almost instantly, he knew that little girl. They knew each other. They run across the yard and hugged each other and said, "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you." And their parents were stupefied. And they insisted they were brother and sister and they knew each other. They insisted.
Uh-huh.
So they called in a priest because, you know, that was so odd. And he said, "That's not uncommon. They have come back together. They know who they are." And he was real gentle with the parents. He said, "You know, these children are very happy to be together, to know each other, to live next door to each other. And they will grow up and go to school, and who knows what they'll do from there." But they ended up at going to college and ended up marrying in college. So
really? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, It wasn't amazing to the priest, and it wasn't amazing to me when I was told, but it was amazing to a lot of people. But see, they knew from another lifetime that they would come back together, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wonderful. So I can tell you that friendships are of long standing and long lasting, very long and very deep, and they can go on for centuries and centuries and centuries. But when they come together, they know who they're looking at. They know who they're talking to. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So when you make a friendship, and, you know, friends get mad at each other and they break up the friendship. But if they're really friends and if they've been treated well on one side or the other, they're going to come back together again sometime. And everything will be the same. They'll be friends and kind to each other and loving and understanding. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're about. That's what our planet is about, to bring peace and love and understanding into our lives so that everybody is peaceful and everybody is loving and trusting and understanding. And when you have worked with people who have proven to you that they can't be trusted and you have helped them a lot, you know, all you can do is bless them and send them divine pure love and light, because they are the ones that are losing out, not you. So remember,
that is, if you're talking about if a friendship fractures,
right.
or you get upset and you feel like you just can't deal with the friend anymore, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and you lose that friend for a period of time. Well, that's okay, because divine pure love and light is always in the works, always sending help and light.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send that divine pure love and light to anybody, anytime, at all, for any reason. Just send them divine pure love and light. When you don't know what to do to rectify the friendship, just fill it with divine love and light and let God take over. He usually takes over and does a good job.
You just reminded me of something. I saw a cartoon once, and it was pouring down rain, and an old man and an old woman were sitting together on the kind of a part of each other on a park bench. And the old man was holding an umbrella over the old woman, and they both had frowns on their face. And it said, friendship is caring even when you're mad at each other.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful is that? They probably did, you know. They probably did, were upset about something, but he wasn't going to let her get grounded.
Friendships sometimes seems like more than more important than romance, would you say?
Well, believe me, a friendship is going to outgrow a romance very quickly, because friendship is something shared from the heart. Romance is a flirtation or an energy that excites you and will very often wither and die. Look what's going on today. It didn't happen so much in our day, but so many people get married and they're divorced. They get married and they're divorced. Their kids suffer the rest of their life, but they don't care. They're done with the relationship. Their only thought is themselves. That is who they're a friend of, themselves. They don't want to work to work out a solution to anything. Recently at a party I had here, we had a couple that were married 76 years, and one of the people said, how could you do that? And they said, well, with a little bit of love, a lot of talking, and some understanding. That's how they answered them. And it was true. I mean, you've been married 76 years. You've learned a lot about each other. And it is true. Because that initial romance dies off and the friendship builds. And if the friendship builds and it builds well, it's going to last forever. It's
for sure.
Definitely going to last forever. And I think, Mary, many times when we really are friends with someone, we are a friend of theirs, even if they prove not really to be our friend, that person has learned something about friendship that they will never forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they have seen real friendship in action. And that's something you don't forget. You don't forget that. No matter how old you get, you'll always remember the time when someone came to the plate and helped you. You don't ever forget that. When they stepped
sometimes
up and
people
said,
don't even realize how valuable a friendship is until after they lose it.
That's, well, you never miss the water till the well runs dry, honey. And when the well runs dry, it's dry for a long time. You have to move to get another spot of water. So
maybe dig a little deeper and invest a little bit more and realize,
right,
and change your values. I mean, you know, is that possible?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. When a person sees what they have actually lost, their values do change. They'll be angry. It's almost like a death. They will be angry and angry but at the other person, but the anger is really at themselves. And then they will be, well, I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have done something else. They'll go through that. And then they'll come out the other side and really realize what they lost, and they'll be sorrowful. And that's the same thing as when somebody passes and your friend is gone and you miss them, and you'll be sorrowful. And they call it mourning. I just call it sorrowful because they should have learned something so they wouldn't have to go through it again.
Sure.
See, everything's a lesson. Everything's a lesson, Mary. And friends are real lessons because they are there in your presence. So they are real lessons. When they do something and they're not going to give it up, then that's them. That's who they are. And if you think that you're going to change them, well, honey, forget it. That's who they are. That's what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to change. You know, they're not going to get up and do anything.
Yeah,
they're
going to
just stay the way they are.
Yeah.
And I've seen many times, oh, they'll change. I said, a leopard doesn't change its spots, folks. Spots are there when that leopard leaves.
It doesn't grow any stripes, huh?
No, it doesn't grow any stripes. So
if you
look at yourself, at the kind of a person you are, and become a friend to yourself, now there's the friend you have to make. You have to learn to like yourself, and you have to learn to live a life that you can like yourself in and do what it takes to like yourself. When you do that, then I like me so you can. So we can put up with each other. We can understand that each of us have certain things that are pertinent to us. And that friendship has lasted because we honor those things. We are good with them. And if it's not going to last, then we're not able to honor them, or they're not able to honor us in our makeup. And I can tell you that very often, there are times when people really, really hurt each other, and they really don't know what they're doing. They really don't realize they're hurting each other. They have taken each other for granted. And when that happens, very often relationships begin to sour because they've been taken for granted so much that the relationship doesn't have a chance. You know,
well, people have different needs, and what one person needs may be something that the other person can't give.
Right. And it may be something that they never would have given if the person would have known that in the beginning. So, you know, you can't do anything different. I mean, you just can't do anything different. You have to, you either have to bend all the way over and let yourself see things differently, or you have to just walk away.
Well, if you were to ask Spirit, what really is the importance of Spirit, and what can you do to make a friendship last? What do you think? What do you get when you ask Spirit that?
Okay, if you ask why the friend is not relating, or why the friend is backing away, you will very often get the answer. You've been overpowering or too demanding. That very often becomes the answer. Too self-serving. I hear that from people a lot. People who are in relationships, married or not, they will very often, you will hear the voice say, let go, let go, let go. and that means that their partner is too overbearing, too demanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, they want control, and too much control will destroy anything. I don't care what it is. It'll just destroy it. I mean, it'll take it apart. So
I think a bad friend is worse than an enemy.
Oh yeah, because they do you more harm.
Mm-hmm.
A friend who pretends to be your friend is a dangerous weapon. Because they'll do things that are just truly painful. And if you watch how they treat you when you're around other people, it won't take you long to find out that they're not your friend. You know, they don't introduce you to somebody, or they don't invite you to a group that you know when they know.
Mm-hmm.
Different things that they do to you let you know right away that they're not really your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like yourself and you are a friend or a friendly person, don't be taken over by people flattering, because flattery is not friendship. People who over flatter you are very, very negative and selfish, and they are flattering you for a reason. They want something. They want something you have. They want to know a friend. They want to make a step up in their work. They're just too flattering, and that is very dangerous. Everybody should know that that is not a real good thing. And many people don't know that. You know, they think they're wonderful because they're talking to them so nicely, but there's a calculation behind that talk.
Yeah.
So that's not good either.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever walked into a place where you felt suddenly that you didn't belong there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, turn around and walk out.
Mhm.
And I say that to people all the time. Walk away. Just turn around and walk out. No matter what the circumstances are, when you walk in and you feel the energy that is so negative, that, you know, why should you stay there? Just walk out. I had to give a talk one time, and I walked in the room, and everybody turned around, and they looked to see me come in the room, and then they turned right around. So I turned right around and walked out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did. And some lady come running after me, and she said, you're going to get... I said, I'm not talking. I have nothing to say.
Ooh,
and she
really?
Just looked at me. I said, you take the spot. You want that spot, take it.
Wow.
And I just kept on walking.
Uh-huh.
Because there was no sense at all in trying to communicate. I could see very well that somebody had done something to spoil whatever it is I was going to do. So I just walked out.
You felt like they were waiting to pick you apart, huh?
They were. Well, somebody was.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was there to do me some kind of disservice. So I just walked out. And later I found out that somebody I was working with to do the talk, somebody that I had talked to and was talking to them about the talk I was going to give, and had given me suggestions, which I didn't quite understand. I did after I got there, but I had walked out in time not to make myself embarrassed. So, you know, I was young then, and I didn't know a whole lot, and I was nervous, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then I'll tell you who really helped me, and that was Eleanor Roosevelt. She came to our town, and she was coming to our town, her and President Roosevelt. They came on a campaign, And we had we at the school had to set up the stage and get everything ready because he was in a wheelchair, and she was right there. I mean, Mrs. Roosevelt was right there. I mean, she just was talking to us girls and helping us and showing us what they needed for him to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. she was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably made the biggest impression in my life that anybody ever did. And she said, and I'll never forget it, she said, when you walk out on that stage, there isn't one person in that audience that knows what you're going to say. They're waiting to hear it. They don't know. So throw those papers in the trash can and walk out there and give your talk. And I
really, you were kind of shaking in your boots?
Well, I was because I was new, you know, and I had worked and worked on the speech. And she put her arm around me and she said, put those things in the trash. Just walk out there and give your talk. And ever since then, when I get ready for a show, I meditate for 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I wait, and when I, just like we're talking, and I listen to what the voice says, and I repeat exactly the words that come out of my mouth are words that are given to me to say. But that was the most important thing that I ever got. She said, you know your material. You know it well. So don't get nervous. Just walk out there and give a talk. Oh. And I did. And when I walked backstage, she said, you're fantastic. And I was so pleased. I mean, that really pleased me. So, but she said,
how old were you then?
I was in the 11th grade.
Really? Oh, that's
I was
incredible.
In the 11th grade. So I think I was 17,
goodness.
I think.
Maybe
I was
16.
My birthday was in March, and they
uh-huh.
came in the spring that year. They came on the train. The whole entourage came on the train.
Yeah, he traveled a lot by train.
They did, and because it was easier for him. And I really liked them. I thought they were wonderful because they were they talked to everybody. He really was the people's person, and you know he did what he said he would do. So I thought he was wonderful, but that she's the one who really helped me to get over being nervous. And she said, throw those
wonderful.
Papers in the trash. And I looked at her, and she just took them out of my hand and dumped them in the trash. So I walked out there, and I said, hello, how are you? And how is the day going? And three questions. And that was it. And I just went from there.
Uh-huh.
But that was one of the biggest lessons I ever received. So you can say that she was a friend, and always, although I never saw her again, I never spoke to her again, I listened to everything she said, and in my file cabinet are a number of her talks, which are simply wonderful. And every once in a while I run into one, I sit down and read it again. Because she was really a knowledgeable, wonderful person and should have been president when he died. We made a big mistake by not making her president.
That's
you know, she...
The best thing we had after that was Harry Truman, and I think he definitely grew into the job.
Right. And he did a good job, so, you know, haven't had a president since and did anything. So there you go. But it's amazing, you know. It's amazing when you think. You know, friends. She became my friend forever. And always I had a real place in my heart for her and for him. And she tended to him. she tended to him. She took care of him.
Oh, yeah.
They had a person, they had guards, you know, people who took care of their protection. But when it come to helping him, she did it.
Yeah.
And she was a first lady. But she said, I'm his wife. And she took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
People were running around trying to help her, and she said, I'm okay. I don't need any help. I'm fine. So, that, you know, that person is a person to be respected and honored. And I did. And so if you're looking around at yourself, are you a friend to yourself? Being everybody, are you a friend to yourself? Or are you doing things that you don't want to do because you think it's going to make yourself a friend to somebody who really is very good at using people? And look at those people and see how much they offer their help to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that mostly they don't offer anything to anybody. You know, they don't. They just don't do it. So that happens.
Or if they do it, they act like they gave you the moon.
Right. They want something in return.
Mm.
So. But I've asked a lot of times, I've said to God, who is my real friend here? Who is a person that is my real friend?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, you know, because I'm not sure who is my real friend. And sometimes I get an answer like, you know, change your... change your direction or change your route, meaning that I'm going down the wrong way. I'm doing something the wrong way. And I meditate, and then something will show up that shows me that this would be better for me to do. When I was stabbed in 79, I still had kids at home and in school and in college, and I had no income because I was out of the nursery business. I couldn't hold a baby if I wanted to. And so I started doing counseling for young mothers. And, you know, I told them how to raise their kids, how to teach them how to be respectful in mind when they're tiny, and they'll stay with them their whole life. And you don't let kids tell you what to do. You set them down, talk to them, and tell them what they're going to do. And then they grow up to be solid citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And they become your friend. And that's very important, to make a friend of your children.
There's a point where you can't be a mama to a 50-year-old. You have to be...
No. A friend.
You have to segue into being a friend. I agree.
That's a very big necessity, and many people just never let go, and therefore their kids don't like to be around them.
Yeah.
You
they
know?
Always treat them like they want to start bossing them around just like they did when they were 12, you know?
Yeah. And you can't do that. You know, if my kids don't ask me a question, I don't give them any advice. If they don't ask for it, I don't give it. Because they're in their 60s, and they've lived long enough to figure it out. And if they want advice about something, and go to somebody who does that business. I just don't. You know, it might not be what I would do what they're doing, but they're doing what they're doing because that's what their decision was. So, again, I say to you that I can be their friend, but I'm not going to be their advisor. I'm not going to do that. That's not going to be the role I play. So, I'm not going
to
do that.
And on the other hand, sometimes your adult children start acting like they're your advisor and going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, and when that happens, I say, you know, when I want your help, I'll ask for it.
There you go. That's a good thing.
My daughter said, why are you taking in laundry? I was taking in some laundry because I had some ladies that were friends that were ill. I said, because I enjoy doing laundry first. Second off, these people need help. They're sick in bed. So do you care? Do you really care that I'm doing somebody else's laundry? What's that about? You know, because Mother, why do you do that? Why aren't you resting? I said, I am fine. What does resting mean?
Yeah, sometimes you could find that you really can't rest until you do something.
You know what I did? I don't tell them what I do. Because then they can't criticize it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just careful.
That,
I don't tell them.
That sounds reasonable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am fine. I'm perfectly healthy. Yes, we're doing fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 100 degrees outside, but we're in the house. You know? So
I hear you.
You never tell us what you're doing. I said, I don't need to tell you because you won't like it. I don't want to make you unhappy.
Do you think that works sometimes with friends, too?
It does work. I have a certain number of friends I don't tell anything to, even if it was funny, because they would find something wrong with it.
Yeah,
but I know
there's
people.
Some friends you don't talk religion with certain friends. You don't talk politics. Yeah.
No, you don't talk. Well, you don't talk anything about health to a lot of people because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. I can guarantee you they don't.
They're diabetic and they keep eating sugar, huh?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
They eat chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Hershey bars. Mm-hmm. Now, you're a diabetic and you're eating Hershey bars? Excuse me, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
but
not good.
But you feel that it's bending the friendship to push too hard, huh?
Well, I don't. The reason I don't push, Mary, is because if I wanted some advice from you, I'd ask you for it, right? Or you'd ask me. And then I could listen to what you had to say and see how I could fit it into what I want to do. Well, if they don't ask me for advice, then I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
I can't talk about the movies because I don't go to them. I don't listen to the radio.
Yeah.
I play hardly any music because, I have heard the music of the spheres. Have you ever heard it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The music of the spheres. Once you've heard that music, there isn't any music on any kind of an instrument, even a harp, that comes close. And every once in a while I'm in my bathroom, and here it comes. And it just goes through your body and relaxes your mind and your body and gives you strength, and it's wonderful. The minute you open the door, I found out it stops the minute you open the bathroom door. So sometimes I just stand there and look in the mirror and thank God for the blessing of that music because it is so wonderful, so awesome that it just fills you to the brim. And I don't know how many people have heard it. I know my grandmothers had heard it and one of my cousins had heard it. And a lady that lived neighbors to my grandma had heard it. So they would say older, you know, they were much older than us kids. But my grandma would say, the music came. And I'd say, yes, Grandma, I heard the music. But she'd never say, did you hear it? She'd say, the music came. And if I had heard it, I would tell her, yes, I heard it. But it was never a question. It was just a statement she would make. And I finally realized as I got older that a lot of times you can make a statement about something and somebody will reply. You know, they'll just reply to it. And so sometimes it's easier to just make a little statement and see what kind of a response you get.
Mm-hmm. Like sometimes somebody will say, we're not alone here. I said, yeah, I know.
Absolutely. How many times have I heard that?
Oh, yes.
You are not alone. And you are not alone in this. If it's something that is, you know, difficult, you'll be reminded that you are not alone. And then you be quiet, and things begin to move.
Mm-hmm.
But that friend is Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And how true that is, and how few people know that. How few people understand that. There is your friend. You're never alone. One lady lives up the road here. She says, I get so lonely. I said, that's your fault. Have a chat with God. Have a chat with Jesus. They'll talk to you anytime. They'll fill you with light and love and warmth, and they're there. Just call on them. Chat with them. And my son said to me, called me up one day, he said, Mother, I got to talk to God. I want you to shut up for a little while so I can talk to him. I said, I'll do just that. And I hung up the phone. But he was serious. He was really serious. He was going to become a father, and he was very worried. But he said, I want you to shut up so I can talk to him. I said, you can talk. You just talk. I'll be quiet. Because, you know, if you're silent, if you go into the silence and you get learn to do it so that you can do it instantaneously when you need to, once you learn to go into the silence, and I teach people to do that because it's very important, then their troubles seem to dissolve. Because in that silence, they receive whatever they have need of to make things get better.
Yeah.
So that is your friend, again. The silence is your greatest friend, because who's in the silence? Jesus and God.
Yeah.
They're there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the strength to stay in the silence and to stay in. I taught classes. One of the classes I taught to be able to read auras and to be able to do, I taught a class in the silence, 10 weeks of silence. We did that.
Mm.
And my goodness, did people, their health got better? Oh, my gosh. One lady swears up and down that she was almost blind when we started the class, and she could see 20/20 when we got through with it. She swore up and down it was from the class, because she hadn't done anything else that she could think of. So, you know, that is your privilege if you choose. And I go into the silence at least once during the day, and, of course, always in the early morning when I go into 4 o'clock, when I start on the stillness of the silence to be able to work through the day. And but I do it every day, because that's how can I talk to you if I don't?
Sure.
How can I? How can we communicate if I don't have that silence to work with?
Well, so, when you are coming from that nourishment of that silence and that sense of being connected with spirit. Obviously, it's what you have to say carries a lot more weight.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I've also noticed something about a real friend. You can actually...
Honey, hold it. Mark, go meet Daniel, because I'm on the show.
Well, how long have you got?
I got 5 more minutes. Okay. I'm telling my, we have a guest coming to dinner. And I told him.
Good.
He's coming at 4:30, and I forgot our show ends at 4:30, and we got about, 5 minutes left?
Yeah, we have 5 minutes exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's just say to everybody that's calling, take a good look at yourself and see what a good friend you are to yourself, because then it'll tell you what a good friend you are to everybody else. And that's a very important part of your life.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a real important part of your life. And I guess, did we give the phone number out? My number is 520-896-9510. That's Ada Marie. 520-896-9510. And my webpage is Ada Marie at thegoldenoracle.com. At thegoldenoracle.com. So you can send an email, or you can call, or you could, you know, ask a question. We're here to help you. And Mary, you should give them your number so people can call.
Okay. Well, my number is 212-724-4081. But this is your show. So.
I know, but we work together, and a lot of people would like to hear what you have to say. So I'm happy for that. I'm happy to share that time. So it's a good thing, and I am going to have to let you go and finish the show because my husband's going to be upset. He invited this guy to dinner. I said, it's Wednesday. Wednesday I do a radio show. So I'm going to have to let you go, but I will talk to you soon.
I just got one word, men.
Right. Amen. Amen. Okay. Bye-bye, Mary.
Well, you go and take care of your friend husband and whatever friend is coming to visit you. And I will just simply do a nice little meditation. That'll be very simple.
Okay, that's good.
And love and light, and Ada Marie, thank you so much.
And love and light back to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And, okay, so in the 2 minutes we have left, let's just close our eyes and take a very, very deep breath and let everything that has been troubling you go. Just blow it away. Just reach deep inside. Deep, deep inside. Grab all those troubles and just blow them away. And another deep breath. And this time just feel all the tension disappearing out of your whole body. Just totally, totally let it go. And as you inhale, bring in the light and the love that is there for us always, and we don't even notice it most of the time. Just pull it in, deep breath, and as you exhale, more of the stuff that's been bothering you is just going to just seep out. Just let it go. And as we finish our show about friendship, just realize the friendship that is there for you. It's always there. Some of it comes and some of it goes, but you're never, never without friendship. All you have to do is reach out and say, I need a friend. And open yourself and let that friendship and that love and that feeling of safety and protection and love just flow through you. And now just kind of wrap your arms around yourself and squeeze it tight and hold it to you. And then stretch. And open your eyes. And go and meet your day. Love and light.